The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. If you have any questions or would like to become a sponsor, please contact our office at 919-832-5138. Okay, the Reader's Digest, your true stories in 100 words. Quiet, please, I'm trying to nap. I'm a leader of National College Ministry and was discussing the book of Genesis with some students one day. We were talking about the story of human beings created and live in a garden setting. Lending credence to this idea, I said there is no sound more soothing than a burbling stream or brook. Then I asked the students, what is the most peaceful environment you can imagine? For example, where you can most easily fall asleep. There was a short silence, and then a young lady spoke helpfully. Class? You're the cream in my coffee. It's 4 a.m., and we hurry into the truck stop for our morning coffees, his black and mine with cream. As we head down the road drinking and chatting, he hands me his still-hot coffee so I can pour a little more into mine. He knows my coffee cools quicker because of the cream. Such a tiny thing, one of the many little threads that make up the fabric of our life, but such a sweet thoughtfulness that makes all the difference in a relationship. I have the world's best husband. Like a duck takes to water. My husband and I were excited when we purchased a lakefront home because we had a yellow Labrador puppy, and we knew labs loved the water. Much to our surprise, our pup was petrified of the lake, and whimpered every time we tried to coax her to swim with us. That is until a day a family of ducks swam by. Our lab joined the ducklings and began to paddle with them. The mother duck was not pleased at the new addition, but we are ecstatic. Everyday Miracles. A Flag's Long Journey Home by Julianne LaBanca. And there's a picture of an American flag covered in signatures. One early morning last winter, someone broke into Sean Marceau's truck. That wasn't particularly unusual. Thieves had already hit him 3 times in recent months, even as the truck was parked outside his home in White Swan, Washington. This time they made off with a laptop, some rifle scopes, and unbeknownst to Marceau at the time, an American flag. This wasn't just any flag. It had belonged to his son, 22-year-old Marine Lance Corporal Joe Jackson. The flag had been signed by each member of Jackson's platoon at the beginning of their deployment, and it hung over his bed for the entire duty in Afghanistan. Jackson was on foot patrol in Helmand Province in 2011 when he stepped on an improvised bomb and was killed. His father frequently took the flag to memorials and veterans events to share his son's story. It wasn't until several weeks after the break-in, when he was getting organized for the annual memorial rifle shoot honoring Jackson, that Marceau realized the neatly folded flag was gone. I was very upset, in a rage, he told Fox and Friends, because I lost it. Marceau reached out to friends and family, asking them to search for the flag wherever they could, at pawn shops, secondhand stores, even the local Goodwill. Nothing. He went to the rifle memorial on April 21st without the flag. In a last-ditch effort, the heartbroken father took to Facebook. Would appreciate it if all my friends could share this note. This American flag was stolen out of my truck, he wrote, including a photo of the flag. Any information would be great, no questions asked. By the next morning, on May 5th, his post had been shared around 2,000 times. By May 7th, there were 40,000 copies. I couldn't believe it, says Marceau. There were so many comments I couldn't keep up. Unfortunately, the flag was still nowhere to be found. Soon enough, there were other flags. A 9/11 firefighter sent one to Mercer signed by a dozen of his colleagues, many of whom had responded to the World Trade Center. A Special Forces Sergeant Major sent a flag he'd taken with him on missions around the world, from Iwo Jima to Afghanistan. Marceau, a retired Marine himself, and the son and grandson of veterans cherished these gifts while continued to pray for the return of Jackson's flag. Still waiting for those prayers to be answered, Marceau went about his routine as normal. On Tuesday, July 3rd, he visited his son's grave, just as he had every Tuesday since Jackson was buried. It's religion, he says. It's my time to meditate and pray and get ready for the week. When he got to Jackson's grave that morning, there was something there, a flag. Marceau didn't let himself get too excited. People had gifted him so many flags in the 6 weeks prior that he figured this was just another keepsake that had belonged to someone else. But when he got closer, he noticed the signatures, black ink on each of the white stripes. This was his son's flag. "It was pretty amazing," he says. There was also some mystery. Whoever had returned the flag left no note. As of yet, no one has stepped forward to say he or she returned it. Did the thief bring it back? Did a good Samaritan find it in a thrift shop? Marceau has decided not to speculate. "For me, it's just a miracle," he says. "It's God. That's who put it there." Cover story. Fact. 25 feet tall tales are impossibly true, and there's a picture of a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Or fiction. And 25 facts that are actually myths, and there's a picture of a Pez container, those of you who know what Pez candies are, with Mickey Mouse head on it. Strange but impossibly true. Number one, dinosaurs had feathers. That's what archaeologists have found in the fossil evidence of some species, including velociraptors. That's the thing, if you saw the dinosaur movie, those little things that are terrible eaters. Whether bigger species such as Tyrannosaurus rex had them is under debate. But some scientists believe they had light feathering. In fact, researchers have long noted that chickens and other birds share skeletal similarities with T-Rex and are its probable descendants. Number two, McDonald's once created bubblegum-flavored broccoli. Not surprisingly, the bizarre attempt to get kids to eat healthier did not go over well with the child testers. Number three, you have a greater chance of dying on your birthday than on any other day of the year. In fact, the more likely you are to bite the bullet on your big day. So go ahead and party, just not too hard. Number four. These are true things, by the way. Number four. The current American flag was designed by a high school student. Betsy Ross, make way for Bob Heft. He sewed the prototype for a history project in 1958, the year before Alaska and Hawaii joined the Union. His teacher gave him a B- because no one knew for certain that the flag would ever need updating. Heavens to Betsy. There is no proof that Miss Ross even had anything to do with the original 13-star version of the flag. Number five, sloths can hold their breath longer than dolphins can. A dolphin needs air after 10 minutes, but a swimming sloth can hold its breath for up to 40 minutes. Their secret, sloths can slow their heart rate at will, reducing the need for fresh oxygen. Number six, Chicago isn't called the Windy City because of its weather. It was meant as an insult to the city's windbags. Journalists used to criticize Chicago's elites for being full of hot air, as reported in an 1858 Chicago Daily Tribune story that read, 100 militia officers from corporal to commander air their vanity in this windy city. Number seven, U.S. government saved every public tweet from 2006 to 2017. But starting in 2018, the Library of Congress decided to keep tweets only on certain subjects and on a very selective basis, such as those about elections, dealing with public policy, and of overall national interest. If you want to check out the government's comprehensive tweet collection, you are out of luck. The entire thing is embargoed until access issues can be resolved, but in a cost-effective and sustainable manner. Number eight, a woman was elected to Congress before women's suffrage. Montana's Jeanette Rankin was sworn in as the first female member of Congress in 1917. All American women were given the right to vote in 1920. Number nine, the dunce cap used to be a sign of intelligence. 13th century philosopher John Duns Scotus thought a pointed cap would be funnel knowledge from the tip of it to his brain, and his dunsmen followers wore the hats as badges of honor. In the 1500s, his ideas became less popular, and the meaning of the dunce cap was turned in its head, becoming something of a joke. Number 10. The founders of Adidas and Puma were brothers. Addie and Rudy Dassler, went into the shoe business in 1924 as Dassler's Brothers Shoe Factory. They made running shoes for Jesse Owens, among others. But their sibling rivalry bowled over in 1958 when they split the company. Addie launched Adidas, Rudy created Puma. 11. Astronauts can cry in space. But with no gravity to pull the tears down their faces, the water just pools into a ball on the astronauts' cheeks. Even more annoying, no-flow crying stings a bit, says astronaut Chris Hadfield. Number 12. Nutella was invented for chocolate lovers. After World War II, chocolate supplies were low in Italy. Pietro Ferrero knew Italians would still want their chocolate fix, so he came up with a way to stretch what he had by creating a sweet paste made of sugar, hazelnuts, and just a little cocoa powder. 13. The CIA has a top-secret coffee shop. Yes, it's called Starbucks, but the branch in the CIA's Langley, Virginia headquarters is unlike any you might have visited. The baristas have to pass extensive background checks and can't write customers' names on the cups, since some of them are undercover agents. The store's name on the receipt isn't even Starbucks, but store number one. And there's a picture of a cup with top secret written on the side of it. Number 14. The shortest war in history landed 38 minutes. In 1896, the Sultan of British-protected Zanzibar died, and a new one took over without British approval. The Brits were not happy, especially when Sultan Khalid bin Bangladesh refused to step down. British warships spent less than 40 minutes bombarding the palace before Khalid fled, marking the end of the very quickly Anglo-Zanzibar War. Number 16. Dorothy's slippers in The Wizard of Oz weren't always ruby red. In L. Frank Baum's 1900 novel, he described them as silver shoes with pointed toes. But the 1939 movie was being shot with a new Technicolor technique, and red shoes made a more eye-catching choice than silver ones. There were at least four pairs made for the film, one of which was recovered only last year after it had been stolen from the Judy Garland Museum in 2005. 15. The longest word in the English language has 189,819 letters. It's the technical name of a protein, which lists its entire amino acid sequence, and would take about 3.5 hours to say out loud, so we're not going to do that for this, and they don't print it either. Number 17. Firefighters use chemicals to make water wetter. The wetting agents reduce the surface tension of plain water so it spreads and soaks into objects more easily, which is why what the fire crews use is known as wet water. Number 18. Kiwis were originally called Chinese gooseberries. After New Zealand started growing and exporting the fruit, they changed the name in a marketing move. Kiwi fruit was more appealing to U.S. consumers, and it drove home the idea that it came from kiwis, a nickname for New Zealanders. Number 19. Frog's eyes help them swallow. Like snakes, frogs swallow their food whole and alive. When a frog closes its eyes, they are pressed into their sockets and down towards the roof of its mouth, pushing on the food and moving it down the throat. That's kind of gross. 20. The second gets its name for being the second unit of time after the minute. The Roman called 1/60th of an hour par minuta prima, first small part, so it was logical that 1/60th of a minute would be pars minuta secunda, second small part. 21. Movie trailers originally played after a movie. They trailed the feature film, hence the name. But theaters noticed that audiences would often leave before these de facto ads ran, so they were moved to before the films with their old name trailing after them. 22. Giraffe tongues can be 20 inches long. The tongue's dark bluish-black color problem helps them prevent sunburn. Number 23. The lighter was invented before the match. In 1823, a German chemist created the world's first lighter, Dubreiner's lamp, which was used in industrial settings. It wasn't until 3 years later that an English chemist made the first friction match. 24. Adolf Hitler's nephew fought with the Allies. William Hitler, a British native, was traveling in the United States with his mother, Bridget Hitler, when World War II broke out. An outcast in England because of his family name, William tried to enlist the U.S. Armed Forces but was denied. After a sincere letter to President Franklin Roosevelt and a thorough background check, William was finally accepted. He served in the U.S. Navy for 3 years as a pharmacist mate. Now that's interesting. 25. You can't hum while holding your nose. Should I try it? Let's try it. Won't work. You just tested it, didn't you? You might be able to get a note or two out, but good luck with a full song. Normally, when you hum, the air is able to escape through your nose to create the sound. And, of course, it can't do that when you're holding your nostrils shut. Facts that are false. 1. blood is blue inside your body. Human blood is the same color inside your body as it is outside, red. Our veins look blue because the tissue covering them changes the way light is absorbed and scattered, which affects our perception of their color. Number two, Paul Revere shouted the Britisher Company. Hey, you can thank Henry Wordsworth Longfellow and his poem Paul Revere's Ride for spreading that tale. No one knows what, if anything, Revere shouted through the streets of Lexington, Massachusetts, though we do know he told one guard that the regulars are coming out. Number three, the hottest part of the chili pepper is the seeds. Capsaicin, a chemical compound that binds to the pain receptors in our nerves to produce that fiery heat, is mostly concentrated in the inner white rib of the chili pepper. The seeds don't actually contain any capsaicin, but they may be coated in it because they touch the rib. Number four, Jesus Christ was born on December 25th. The Gospels of Matthew and Luke never mention the date of Jesus' birth, so why did we celebrate December 25th as the day that Christ was born? It could be because of a Roman Catholic historian from the 3rd century, Sextus Julianus Africanus, who believed Jesus was conceived on March 25th, 9 more months before what is now Christmas Day. Doesn't say why he believed that. Number 5. The Sahara is the world's largest desert. Technically, Antarctica is. The U.S. Geological Survey defines a desert as an arid land with meager rainfall, usually less than 10 inches per year, that supports only sparse vegetation and a limited population of people and animals. Antarctica averages only 6 inches of rain a year, mostly as snow, and is almost 5.5 million square miles. The Sahara is only 3.3 million square miles. Number 6. Chameleons can change their coloring to match any background. The lizards do adjust their skin tone to camouflage themselves in certain environments, but their color range is limited. The really vibrant hues you see on TV and in books aren't usually meant for tricking predators. Those chameleons are trying to attract a mate or defend their territory. Male chameleons have even been known to change their colors to appear female, which helps them sneak by other males without the threat of a fight. Ooh, that's sneaky. Number 7. The $100 bill is the biggest bill in circulation. Although the federal government stopped printing them in 1945, currency notes in denominations of $500, $1,000, $5,000, and $10,000 are still legal tender. If you've never seen them, that's because most have been snatched up by private collectors. But those aren't even the biggest bill ever printed. Between December 18, 1934, and January 9, 1935, the government put out $100,000 notes featuring President Woodrow Wilson. However, they were only for transactions between Federal Reserve banks and never went out into the general public. Number 8. eBay was founded by a man who wanted to help his fiancée trade Pez dispensers. That's the stories that circulated when the online auction house began, but it was really just a PR tall tale. It's true that Pez, named after the German word for peppermint, pfefferminz, were originally created in 1927 to help smokers quit. Almost as strange, the all-important dispensers didn't get their character-inspired tops until 1957. The first was a witch for Halloween. Number 9. The Declaration of Independence made the United States a sovereign country. Congress adopted the final text on July 4, 1776, but most countries didn't recognize the new government then. The French waited 2 years, and the British didn't formally accept losing their colonies until the Treaty of Paris in 1783. Lemmings, number 10. Lemmings will blindly join in mass suicide. Norwegian lemmings do migrate in packs, but the well-known image of their mass suicide was staged for the 1958 documentary White Wilderness. Filmmakers tipped brown lemmings from a truck over a cliff's edge, making it look as if they were following one another to their deaths. That was pretty nasty. Number 11. A factoid is a fun mini-fact. In fact, the opposite is a fact. Writer Norman Mailer coined the term in 1973 to describe facts that were invented by gossip reporters. The suffix old, as in humanoid, refers to something that appears like something else, but is not. Number 12. Neanderthals were dumb. They were probably just as intelligent as Homo sapiens, but scientists think that Neanderthals didn't fare well when the animals they hunted died out after the Ice Age. Number 13. Eskimos have more words for snow than any other culture. By the way, don't forget, these are false facts. The Canadian Inuit and the Nunavik region do have more than 50 words for it, and the Central Siberian Yupik have 40. But the Scots have the biggest snow vocabulary, 421 words. Number 14. Jews of Celia was born via cesarean section, and the procedure was named for him. In Caesar's time, a cesarean was performed only on dying women, and Caesar's mother likely lived long enough to see him attack England. The origin of the name is uncertain, but it might have come from the Latin ciador, which means to cut. Number 15. Citronella candles are the best way to keep mosquitoes out of your lard. The smoke from citronella candles is as effective as that from regular candles, and neither helps much. If you want an all-natural mosquito repellent, try planting some catnip. Your cat will thank you, too. Number 16. The green paste served with your sushi is wasabi. Wasabi is expensive and difficult to grow. Since it's in the same family, most restaurants and food companies use horseradish with food coloring instead. Real wasabi is more complex and sweeter than what you get in the typical Japanese restaurant. Isn't that cool? 17. Ostriches bury their head in the sands. The birds would suffocate if they did. If a predator is approaching, a frightened ostrich will lay its head and neck flat against the ground as a camouflage ploy. Some human onlookers have assumed that the bird's light-colored heads were actually in the sand. Number 18. Minnesota has more lakes than any other state. Minnesota, a.k.a. the land of 10,000 lakes, actually has almost 12,000 of them. But Alaska has more than 3 million. Number 19. Space is always cold. Without an atmosphere, there's nothing absorbing the sun's harmful rays or trapping the heat. When astronauts are orbiting Earth, the temperature can range anywhere from -250 degrees to 250 degrees plus Fahrenheit. The Hope Diamond is the biggest in the world. At 45.52 carats, it's a mere bauble compared with the 545.6 carat Golden Jubilee. Number 21, you can get tetanus from a rusty nail. It's the dirt around the nail that carries the Clostridium tetani bacteria. Number 22, water conducts electricity. Pure HTO is an insulator. 23. You can tell a ladybug's age by counting its spots. A ladybug's spots do not change once it becomes an adult. 24. Earth is closer to the sun in summer. Just the opposite. We're close in January, but the Earth is tilted a different way. 25. Maine is the easternmost state. Alaska's Semipochenoshi Island is so far west that it crosses into the eastern hemisphere. Humor in uniform. And there's a picture of a bunch of jets flying in formation, and one of them has gone completely out of line and bounced back up, and the caption says, Gesundheit. Our base's Army Exchange Service carried a particular brand of underarm deodorant that I liked and bought for years. Then one day, I couldn't find it. I asked an employee whether they still carried the deodorant. No, we don't, she said. It was always selling out, and I could never keep it in stock, so I quit ordering it. Jeez. I admit it. I have a tendency to exaggerate, and I was afraid when I joined the Navy that my creativity might get me in trouble. But my fears were put to rest one day while getting into formation, which was determined by height. Now, I was shy of 6 feet tall, but when our drill sergeant called for all six-footers to line up, I stepped forward anyway. I instantly knew I was in the right outfit when I looked around. I was the tallest guy in the line. Good deeds. In life, they were humble secretaries, teachers, and janitors. When they died, they were richer than anyone knew, and they gave millions to charity. The Secretary. Sylvia Bloom left $8.2 million to educational programs and as a scholarship fund. Whenever Jane Lockshin went out to lunch with her elderly aunt Sylvia, she made a point to pick up the tab. After all, Sylvia Bloom was a modest secretary, a widow of more than a decade, who lived in a one-bedroom Brooklyn apartment and took the subway everywhere, including to her job at a Manhattan law firm. She worked there full-time until she was 96. Simply put, Lockshin didn't want Aunt Sylvia to blow her budget on lunch. So when Bloom died in 2016 at 97, it was something of a shock to discover she left behind a multi-million-dollar estate. Almost as shocking, she had chosen to give $8.2 million to charity. $6 million went to educational programs at the Henry Street Settlement, a social services organization in New York City. An additional $2 million went to scholarship funds, including at Bloom's alma mater, Hunter College. She had millions, said Lockshin, and no one suspected it. Bloom's request to the settlement, the largest in its 126 history, will help fund a program for disadvantaged students. The gift has been transformative, not just because of the good we'll be able to do with it, says Donald Garza, the agency's executive secretary. But because of the selfishness and humility behind it. Sylvia Bloom's story is indeed extraordinary, but it's not as uncommon as you might think. Working-class benefactors, secretaries, teachers, janitors, and more make headlines with awe-inspiring regularity. In 2015, a retired grocer in Milwaukee left $13 million to a local Catholic high school. The year before, a former J.C. Penney janitor from Vermont left nearly $5 million in bequest to a local hospital. Their stores are rich and as full as their hidden bank accounts. In a world that in many ways survival of the fittest, they're certainly a special class of people, says Garza. These unassuming philanthropists share some qualities. The most obvious is they often have no children. That's one reason many of them were able to save so much of their humble paychecks. It also means they had no direct natural heirs. People who are single are thinking about what good they can do with their money and what legacy they want to live, says Stacey Palmer, editor of the Chronicle of Philanthropy. Sorry about that. Often the legacy touches on helping children they never had. As a kid in Milwaukee, Leonard Grigowski took the 6:30 bus every morning to get to St. Francis Minor Cemetery, a Catholic high school that later became St. Thomas More High School. After a stint in the Navy, Grigowski went to become a butcher and a grocer. He never married, and he never forgot St. Thomas More. Grigowski visited regularly and sometimes would eat lunch with the students in the cafeteria. One time he stood up and started singing the school cheer. His kids, as Grigowski called them, grinned and joined him. On his 90th birthday in 2015, administrators arranged a surprise assembly for him. The kids sang happy birthday, and Grigowski led them in prayer. 3 months later came the bombshell. Leonard Grigowski had passed away, and he left behind a $13 million scholarship fund for St. Thomas More. "I nearly fell off my chair," Mary McIntosh, the school's president, told Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Grigowski may have been humble, but he had a very full life. He was an avid ballroom dancer. He had a dance floor in the basement of his modest suburban home. He also loved pigeon racing. He had a coop in his yard and kept meticulous records of each of his birds. "He told me he loved being around God's creatures and caring for them," said his friend Jeff Corpel. But the school was his passion. Larry Haskin, Gagowski's friend and the lawyer who helped him set up the Leonard Grigowski Catholic Education Foundation, said there was no doubt that Grigowski had saved his money with the intent of donating as much as he could to the students of St. Thomas More. "He wanted to have the greatest impact possible on future generations," Haskin said. "He felt he owed his long life to God, his Catholic education, and his deep faith, and he wanted to pass it on," Corporal adds. Grigowski had a lot in common with Margaret Southern, a special needs teacher from Greenville, South Carolina, who died in 2012 at age 94. Southern loved children and animals. Before she allowed Mike Shane, vice president of wealth management at UBS, to handle her investments, she made him promise to take in her dachshund, Molly, if anything happened to her. "I know you'll take care of her," she told him. In fact, Southern outlived Molly by several years and had her buried in her yard. But she continued to worry about animals, especially those that were homeless. When she died, she left half of her $8.4 million estate to the Greenville Humane Society, even though she never had any direct contact with the organization, and the other half to the Community Foundation of Greenville, which distributed the money to organizations that benefit early childhood education and special education for children. She also left money to various friends and family. "It's a wonderful surprise to wake up and find a very unassuming woman who cares greatly for our community and our children," says Susan Shee, Ph.D., founder and chair emerita of the Institute for Child Success, a recipient of $25,000. Southern's wealth also came with a shock to most who knew her. She lived in a modest townhouse and got around Greenville in a gray 1980 model Cadillac. Her money came from a few shares of stock left to her by her husband, who had died in 1983. She added that through the 80s, if only to feather a nest for others to use. What's exceptional is she didn't spend it on herself. She was able to accumulate a lot of money that she wanted to direct to her dearest charities. Bob Morris, president of Community Foundation, told the Greenville News, "I haven't met a lot of people like that." Did their generous natures help Southern and those other extraordinary givers live so long? It's possible. Studies have found that people who are charitable, whether it's via volunteering or donating money, tend to have lower blood pressure, less stress, and longer lives. One 2011 study even found that older volunteers had a lower risk of dying in a four-year period than non-volunteers. They certainly understood the importance of planning for the future. Careful, conservative investing, putting money in the stock market and leaving it there to grow, has always been a ticket to a comfortable retirement. And that's how the working-class benefactors built their legacies. For instance, when Sylvia Bloom was a young legal secretary, part of her job was to keep track of her boss's stock purchases. She'd take note of which stocks the lawyers were buying and buy a few shares for herself. She invested in the market and didn't spend it, Lockson said. She followed the rules. Ronald Reed was a blue-collar guy with blue-chip smarts. A gas station attendant and a JCPenney janitor in Brattleboro, Vermont, he read the Wall Street Journal every day, following his investments in Ford, IBM, Procter & Gamble, and CVS Health. When he died in 2014 at age 92, he was worth $8 million. But while he had watched his money carefully, he rarely touched it. After one of his last meetings with his attorney, Lori Rowell, she insisted on walking her frail client to his car. They proceeded up a steep hill, passing empty parking spots as they went. When they got to Reed's 2017 Toyota Yaris, Rowell realized why he had chosen that spot. There were no parking meters at the top of the hill. "You would have thought he was penniless if you met him," she said. In fact, Reed didn't even want his lawyer to walk with him to the car because he thought you might charge him for the time. Reed's frugality was sometimes mistaken for actual poverty. One morning, the man ahead of him in line for coffee noticed Reed's tattered clothes and promptly paid for his drink. He got his coffee that day and most others at Brattleboro Memorial Hospital, which served some of the best Java in town. "That coffee shop was beloved by a number of people," says Rowell. "They took good care of him." When Reed died, the hospital officials were surprised that he had let the bulk of his estate, nearly $5 million, to the hospital. Some of us knew he had some investments, his stepson Philip Brown told the Brattleboro Reformer, but obviously he had a whole lot more that we didn't know about. Not every working-class benefactor scrimped and saved. Kathleen McGowan, a teacher from Simsbury, Connecticut, had no idea she was rich until just before she died in 2011 at age 87. Not long before she passed away, she visited a small law firm for help managing her estate. When they asked how much she thought it was worth, McGowan guessed around $40,000. The real number? $6 million. McGowan's twin brother, Robert McGowan, had always managed their finances. They had lived together until he died in 2010. She never had a demand for that kind of money, her attorney Louis George told the Halifax Courant. Some would go on a shopping spree if they became millionaires overnight. McGowan turned to charity. Her will outlined $5 million in bequests to 15 organizations, along with gifts to relatives and neighbors. She left close of $500,000 each to her alma mater, the University of St. Joseph in West Harvard, the McLean Nursing Home where she spent her final days, and the Simsbury Public Schools, where she had taught first grade for 35 years. All of us remember her very much as the schoolteacher who always had a twinkle in her eye, Dean Morris, the former fundraising director of McLean, told the Hartford Courant. She loved engaging in conversation with all sorts of different people, and everyone loved talking to her. A schoolteacher. That's how she lived in our hearts. A tidbit from your Fitbit. Something's wrong. He's never walked this far before. What my shoes would say if you walked a mile in them. Okay, let's switch over to Consumer Reports. We were doing letters last time, so let's go ahead and do some more of those. My parents were Consumer Reports subscribers, and I became a member too. Lately, I see Consumer Reports reviewing more items that few need. Supercomputers was no exception. The lowest price unit was $700. We'd never spent more than $599 for our 15 to 17-inch laptops and never found the processor, RAM, speed, or capacity inadequate, at least not until digital photo files grew so large. Currently shopping to replace my 6-year-old 17-inch Lenovo, I'm finding plenty of worthy laptops between $450 and $600. Editor's note. We test laptops at a wide variety of prices. However, more expensive models tend to outscore their less expensive brethren. Of 144 laptops in our ratings, only 9 cost roughly $700, or less rated a very good when put through our testing. Still, we agree that you can find many good laptop options south of the $700 mark, especially if you mostly browse the web, stream videos, and use email and social media rather than, say, edit photos. We know price is important to you, and our experts are always striving to identify the best values. In fact, you'll find an article, Get Smarter About Your Smartphone, which we'll look at later, which offers money-saving advice, plus rating of models that cost $450 or less. That's less than half of what many of the newest smartphones cost. I just read your laptop reviews. In this age of phones, phablets, and tablets, I found it hard to believe that many of your top-rated laptops are Apple MacBooks with no touch screen or no HDMI and no SD or micro SD card reader, and all the ports look like USB-C only. Plus, no touch means no pen capabilities. Some Lenovos and the Microsoft Surface have incredible pen capabilities where you can use the screen like a pad of paper and draw or sign a document, etc. A good touchscreen interface should be an entrance requirement, and beyond that, pen and convertibility should be assessed more thoroughly in the test. Connectivity shouldn't require numerous expensive accessories. Recall reservations. I just read, alerting consumer about, we've already done that one. Oils to oils. Thanks for the insight about properties of various cooking oils. It left us wanting more. We hope CR will take a deeper dive into the highly variable nutritional quality and health effects of different oils. We now know, and Federal Nutrition Agency agree, that the quality of dietary fat is important as the quantity. Consumers need more nuanced help from Consumer Reports to make wise choices. In your deeper dive, please include the fatty acid profile of two other major oils in the U.S., diet soybean and corn oil. And that's from two PhD guys. Editor's note, both oils are predominantly unsaturated fat. Soybean oil is 57% polyunsaturated fat, 22% monounsaturated fat, and 15% saturated fat. Corn oil is 54% polyunsaturated, 27% monounsaturated, and 12.5% saturated. Percentages didn't add up to 100 because we did not include some minor constituents. The vast majority of corn and soy grown in the U.S. genetically modified. So if that is a concern, choose organic or verified non-GMO oils. Cold car comforts. Your Ask Our Expert discussion in December 2018 issue about buying remote starters for cars was a non-starter for me. They waste precious fuel and needlessly pollute our atmosphere. Years of driving in New York and Wisconsin taught me to bundle up until my car was warm enough, and that wasn't that tough. And that's from Denton, North Carolina. Bigger TVs, please. As a longtime member, I was happy to get the November 2018 issue with the TV ratings. However, I was disappointed that the largest TV tested were 65-inch models. Most manufacturers make units in the 80-inch range. Please consider testing larger TVs. Thanks and keep up your excellent work. The editor's note, we currently have about a half dozen TVs in our ratings. And even TVs in our ratings with screens of 70 inches or larger from brands including Hisense, LG, Sony, and Vizio. But the bulk of the market in terms of sales is still TVs with screens 65 inches and smaller. And we try to test the brands, models, and screen sizes most consumers are buying. But every year, more people opt for bigger sets. So we intend to test more in 2019. We also expect jumbo-sized TVs to be cheaper next year, but that may depend on how our new tariffs on Chinese goods affect the U.S. prices. What we're testing in our labs. In our 63 labs, we continue to review and rate products. Here are timely picks for this month. Vacuums for bare floors. They tested 88 models, strength of airflow, picking up, and bare floors and more. The Superior Stick, Shark Rocket Complete, HV380, $240 at Walmart. First-rate robotic, Samsung PowerBot R7065 at $600. The lower-cost canister, Kenmore Elite Pet-Friendly Crossover, $400. Wireless routers. We tested 10 models. We test for setup, security, speed of communications from the router, near mid-range and far, in a typical house with no other wireless interference and more. The best overall performance was the Asus AC3100, $230. The wide reach for big homes, the EuroPro Tri-Brand Mesh Network. There's three of them, $500. Great price. Netgear AT1750 at $130. Ask our experts. I heard that my wireless router can easily be hacked. How can I protect myself? Wireless routers transmit all data flowing in and out of your home, including email and credit card information, which makes them top targets for hackers. When you buy a new router, change the router and Wi-Fi network passwords immediately and make them strong, says Mariah Ryrark, Senior Director of Product Testing at Consumer Reports. During setup, most new routers allow you to turn on automatic updates, which help protect you from current and future malware. Also disable or turn off remote admin, sometimes called remote management, which is a model typically used by business to let people outside of your home network get access and change your router settings. Home speakers. We tested 37 wireless and Bluetooth models. We test for sound quality, including the ability to reduce fine sonic detail, ease of use, and versatility of features offered. The excellent sound quality is the Edifier S1000 dB, $350. Very versatile, the Denon HEOS 7HS2, $400. And easy add Sonos systems, the Sonos Play 5 at $500. Smartwatches. We tested 16 models. We test for ease of use and interaction, readability, scratch resistance, water resistance, heart rate monitor accuracy, step count accuracy, and more. The strong overall performer was the Apple Watch Series 4, aluminum case, GPS and cellular for $530. Great display for less is the Samsung Galaxy Watch at $260, and the budget-friendly buy is the Fitbit Versa at $200. Blood pressure monitors. We tested 29 models. We test for accuracy of a model's reading when compared with a mercury sphygmomanometer, that's the technical name for a blood pressure cuff, comfort, and more. The price is right. Rite Aid Deluxe Automatic BP3AR1, $60. Great for multiple users, the AD Medical at $70. Best wrist monitor, the Omron 7 Series Ultra Slide at $60. Car booster seats. We tested 48 models. They stress for structural integrity and a 35-mile frontal crash test and a child-sized dummy, ability to correct position, the lap and shoulder belts, ease of use, and more. The best overall is the Evenflo Big Kid Highbacks, $30 to $40. And it also, looking at it, it's also got drink holders, too. That's kind of cool. Best backless, the Harmony Youth Booster at $11. And easy-to-use high back is the Cybex Solution X-Fix at $140. And it doesn't even have drink holders. Ask our experts. Can I add a rear-view camera to an older car that doesn't have one? A rear-view camera is a handy safety tool on newer cars. But if you have an older model, you don't need to go without. The simplest solution is to install a small wireless backup camera in the car's rear license plate area, says Mel Yu, CR's automotive analyst. These cameras, usually $50 to $199, could connect wirelessly to your smartphone as the rearview camera's display screen. Be sure to choose one that's compatible with your phone's operating system. Some front-facing dash cameras mount on your dashboard or windshield to record video are sold as sets with rear cameras, but you probably need to run wires from the rear camera to a screen you mount on the dashboard. Many dash cam sets have a screen that straps over your existing rearview mirror. In addition to being a mirror, it displays video from the car rear camera. If your car has an infotainment screen but lacks a rearview camera, you may want an aftermarket retrofit. This will use the existing infotainment screen to show the rear image. Packages range from $120 to $600. Hardwiring a rear-view camera can be time-consuming and taxes some do-it-yourself skills, says John Ebbesen, CR Chief Mechanic. So if you have any doubts, go to a national chain such as Best Buy. Installation ranges from $99 to $130. I've been warned that some companies' 401k plans have high fees, but how high is too high? Look for and add up all the administrative fees, which are typically online and or broken out as a line item on your 401k plan statement. Together with investment management costs, these should be listed next to each fund option on your prospectus. Generally, if your 401k plan total costs are 1.5% or more, you're paying more than you should, says Penelope Wang, CR's deputy money editor. If your employer plan fees are higher than you'd like, you may be better off contributing some money to your 401k and then saving more outside of it. If you plan on staying with your employer long term, save just enough to get your full employer matching contribution using the plan's lowest cost option. That's free money, with many companies offering a 50% match up to 6%. Then, if you're eligible, put additional savings into a diversified portfolio and a Roth IRA, which requires you to pay taxes now but not when you retire. Or opt for a traditional IRA and put in as much as you can up to the annual IRS limit, a total of $5,500 for 2018 or $6,000 for 2019. Those age 50 and older can contribute an additional $1,000. Beyond that, you could put money in tax-efficient investments, such as a municipal bond fund. If you intend to change jobs in a year or so, the fees are less of a problem. Just remember to roll over your plan into a low-cost IRA or your new employer's 401k when you leave. What's the best way to keep my pipes from freezing? Burst pipes are a common cause of property damage and can cost thousands of dollars in water damage. The pipes most at risk in your home are those in the unheated interior spaces, such as basements, attics, and garages. But even pipes running through cabinets or along exterior walls can freeze during a severe cold snap. There are simple preventive things you can do. Always keep garage doors closed, especially if there are water supply lines in the garage, advises John Manta, a CR engineer at our home group. On particularly cold days, open kitchen and bathroom cabinet doors to allow warmer air to circulate around the plumbing, especially if the sink is on an exterior wall of the house. Letting water run through an exposed pipe, even at a trickle dropping from the faucet, also help prevent a pipe bursting pressure spike in the event that a section of it does freeze. For the long term, wrap your pipes with insulation, which can cost as little as 50 cents per linear foot and adds great protection. If you plan to be away during cold weather, leave the heat on in your home or set your thermostat at no lower than 55 degrees Fahrenheit. Solve your wireless printer problems. There are a few more frustrating things than clicking print only to have nothing happen. It's a familiar pain point for some printer owners, according to CR's annual printer survey. So what's wrong? This quick troubleshooting guide can help. Do a preliminary diagnosis. To see whether the Wi-Fi signal is indeed the problem, first check that your printer has enough ink and toner. If they're too low, your machine may stop printing. Then try printing while the printer is connected to your laptop or phone with a cable. If it works while connected, you know the issue is probably poor Wi-Fi connection, says Rich Sullen, who leads the printer testing at CR. Move your printer. Typically, when you hit print on a laptop, it sends a request through your home's wireless router, which then relays the request to your wireless printer. But if the printer is far from your router, any floors, walls, and doors in between can weaken the signal. Be extra patient with smartphones. Though some smartphones can skip the router and talk directly to the printer, large files can still require more time to process from a phone than a computer, Sullen says. Check your Wi-Fi networks. If your home has Wi-Fi range extenders to boost coverage, your laptop could be connected to one network and your printer to another. Try selecting a different Wi-Fi connection on your laptop. Reboot. You know the drill. Unplug your printer, wait a minute, then plug it back in. Often that's enough to fix the problem. If not, try booting the wireless router too. Reset the printer. Beware. This is different from rebooting because it will clear every setting from your printer, including your Wi-Fi login info. Directions for performing factory reset vary, so consult the owner's manual. Still having a problem? It might be time to replace your old clunker. Check out some of our wireless printer picks, which are listed below, and I'll read those. Reliable Black and White Laser is the Brother HLL2350 at $100. Bargain Inkjet is the Canon Pixma at $85, and that got a good score, too. And the color laser with low toner cost is the 8B colored laser jet at $250. Food sleuth, antibiotic use at fast food chains. You are, depending on where you eat, your order of chicken nuggets or burger may be coming from animals raised on antibiotics. Our annual fast food scorecard, produced along with the Center for Food Safety, Friends of the Earth, the Food Animal Concern Trust, the National Resources Defense Council, and the U.S. Public Interest Research Group, grades the top 25 restaurants on their antibiotic policies. The good news, more restaurants are taking antibiotic overuse seriously. Almost all the meat and poultry at A-rated Panera and Chipotle, for example, are raised without any antibiotics at all, and Chick-fil-A is on track to source all of its chicken from suppliers that do not use antibiotics by the end of 2019. Applebee's and IHOP also implemented their first-ever policy to address antibiotics in their chicken and pork supplies. and Domino's has promised to reduce antibiotics in its chicken supply chain, but beef and pork were not addressed. These are big improvements from just 3 years ago, when 20 of the top 25 chains had no policies to limit their antibiotic use for any meat or poultry. This year, that number dropped to 7. While companies should be lauded for adopting no antibiotic policies, most of the improvements are in chicken, says Gene Halloran, Director of Food Policy Initiatives at Consumer Reports. We need more efforts to get antibiotics out of beef and pork production, too. Of all antibiotics used on animals, the beef industry accounts for 43%. Chicken is just 6%. In an effort to spotlight the lack of progress in the beef sector, Consumer Reports this year had a second scorecard evaluating the 25 top burger chains in the U.S. Of those, only BurgerFi and Shake Shack received A grades for serving no antibiotic beef. The large burger chains, including Burger King, McDonald's, and Sonic, all got failing grades, with the exception of Wendy's, which got a D-. To do the burger scorecard, go to cr.org/chain reaction. And the listing is A is Chipotle, Panera, and Chick-fil-A. B-plus is KFC, Subway. B-minus is Taco Bell. C-plus is Wendy's and McDonald's. A C is Applebee's, IHOP, and Pizza Hut. A D-plus is Cracker Barrel, Papa John's, Jack in the Box, Dunkin' Donuts. A straight D is Domino's and Starbucks. And an F is Burger King, Dairy Queen, Sonic, Arby's, Little Caesars, Buffalo Wild Wings, Olive Garden, and Chili's. Air fryers, the best under $80. A hot new kitchen must-have of the very best air fryers can be pricey. But our lab tests reveal that you can still get a very good results for less. Extra budget-friendly is the Bella Hot Air Fryer 14538 at $40. Easy to program is the Gourma Digital Air GAF 575 at $55. The top performer, however, was Farberware HV919B at $70. And the easy-to-clean digital was the Chefmon Digital at $79. Do more with your ceiling fan. People have counted on electric ceiling fans for over a century to cool down in a room in summer. Less known in colder months, reversing the blade direction and slowing down the speed of your fan will help mix the warm air near the ceiling with the cooler air found near the floor, according to the U.S. Department of Energy. That can make you feel more comfy and even keep the heating costs down if it helps you resist the urge to crank up your thermostat. The results, however, depend on the room, says Jim Naomi, lead engineer at Consumer Reports. It may work best if the room has a very high ceiling and if the space above, say the attic, is not heated. If you try it, make sure that the fan is set to turn slowly, he says. If the air moves too quickly, it could have the opposite effect and create a drafty feel. Time travel for Consumer Reports. The pantry snacks. In 1945, we tested 20 brands of crackers and found that generally butter crackers are good, cheese crackers are fair, whole wheat crackers are poor. Nabisco Ritz crackers came out tops for flavor. In 1958, canned fruit cocktail is a boon to the busy housewife, ranking third among all canned fruits for convenience and versatility. Consumer Report tests 29 brands, 6 are excellent. In 1964, we evaluate brands of mixed nuts and show that consumers may not get the mix they were promised. Our tests find that peanuts made up 3/4 of some cans' contents. 1978, on average, Americans now get about 25% of their calories from sugar. We've revealed the sugar percentage of 24 foods, including Nabisco Ritz crackers, 11.8%, and Skippy peanut butter, 9.2%, both higher than a can of Coke and Pepsi, which is 8.8%. In 1985, during a taste test, many of our staffers can't tell the difference between regular and Lifeline Wise chips. The company does a dandy job, we say, of lowering fat and calories without harming the taste. In 1996, we evaluate the best-selling items from major mail-order food companies, including 6 brands of roasted nuts. Priestess Roasted and Salt and Threesome is the best of the bunch, receiving a recommendation of excellent and a class of their own. In 2010, we rate 48 dips, including guacamole, hummus, and salsa. Our analysis, based on calories, fat, sodium, sugars, iron, calcium, and fiber, listed on the labels, puts Newman's Own Salsa on the top 10 dips overall. In 2018, our testers rate 20 crackers for nutrition and taste. Nabisco Triscuit Reduced Fat Crackers receive the best overall score and are good value for the average cost. And the Nabisco Triscuit reduced their fat crackers at $3. February is the best time to buy snow blowers. Look for discounts towards the end of the month. TVs. Super Bowl season is an ideal time for TVs. Of course, Super Bowl's over now. Mattresses. Shop President's Day sales and see ratings in our March issue. Recreational generators. Whether you're tailgating at a chilly football game or you need to charge up some personal electronics after a power outage, having portable inverter generator comes handy. These can power your speakers, your TV, electric grill, heater, and more. But there can be stunning price differences between models. For example, the Predator below left sells for $500, and the Yamaha below right, which are pictures, by the way, is $900. The question is, will paying almost double give you twice the power? Both have similar specs and get solid marks for power quality, important for running systems of electronics, says Dave Trezza, who oversees Consumer Reports generator testing. And both are quiet and easy to use. The most significant difference between the two models is runtime. The Predator Yamaha has a slightly larger tank, helping it run a bit longer than a Predator without needing additional fuel. But in our most important test, power delivery, the generators are almost identical. Both earn a rating of very good, meaning they can handle large power demands. The Predator is really a refined piece of equipment, easily matching the Yamaha, says Treasure, making a comparable check for almost half the price. What 100 calorie looks like on Valentine's Day. Have a date with some sweets this month? The key to keeping a healthy diet on track, as experts say, is to choose a candy you really enjoy, while being a miracle of portion size, mindful of portion size. 18 and a half pieces of Sweetheart's Hearts candy. 2 3/4 pieces of Dave's Silky Smooth Promises Dark Chocolate Hearts. 56 and a half pieces of Brock's Cinnamon Imperial Hearts candy. 1 1/2 pieces of Ferrero Rocher chocolates, and 1 9/10 of a piece of Russell Stover Marshmallow Hearts. And with that, we've just about run out of time for today's broadcast of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. We would like to thank all of our past sponsors for their generous contributions to the reading service. If you have any comments or questions, or you'd like to be a sponsor, please call us at 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the Triangle Reader Reading Service. So long until next time, and thanks so much for listening.